You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Spirit, since that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. Not just your spirit man, but it'll cause your mortal body, this fleshly man, to come alive, because we have that same Spirit, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's power. Amen. That's power. Hallelujah. They didn't need anybody to roll that stone away. Hallelujah. He got out of there without their help. Hallelujah. He didn't need an army to come roll it out of the way. As a matter of fact, when they got to the tomb, they said, "Who's going to roll the stone away for us?" Hallelujah. And about that time, they felt a little bit of a trembling, a little bit of an earthquake, and a little bit of shaking. He said, "Don't worry, guys. It's going to be all right." Hallelujah. The same power that raised Christ from the dead can quicken and make alive your mortal body today. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that power. How many are thankful in here for the power of the blood, that you remember the moment, hallelujah, that it quickened your mortal body? Hallelujah. I remember the moment that it quickened my mortal body. And I've told you the testimony before. I was about 3 years old, and I remember the presence of God coming into my heart. Hallelujah. In Andy's house over there. It wasn't his house at the time. It was our house. And I had sat up on the table talking to my mom while she was making bread. And she was telling me about Jesus coming into her heart and receiving Jesus as her Savior. And she told me, "All you have to do is ask Jesus to come in your heart." And I climbed down off of the table, and I went into the room where the couch was against that one wall. And I knelt down and I said, "Jesus, come into my heart." And I have felt the power of the Holy Spirit right there at 3 years old at that moment. The power of God come into our house, come into our life, change our history, change our destiny, change our course of who we was. I was not a dirty, rotten sinner at 3 years old. There wasn't a whole lot of things to be forgiven of at that moment that I can think of anyway. Maybe Mom can, but... How many know you can come to know Jesus as your personal Savior wherever you are at any time in your life, that if you'll cry out to Him, He said, "If you'll cry out to me, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins." He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." All men, hallelujah. That was revolutionary preaching, let me tell you. We sit here today and hear this message of the gospel preached to Jew and Gentile and don't realize what we have. But He said, "If I'll be lifted up, I'm going to draw every man from every nation, every kindred, and every tongue, from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west, the white man, the black man, the red man, the Jewish man. I'm going to draw every man, woman, and child unto myself when I am lifted up to the death of the cross." Hallelujah. He wasn't talking about when we come in here this morning, we lift Jesus up, you know, by giving Him a little bit of praise. He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth," hallelujah, "when I'm lifted up from the earth," signifying what type of death He would die. He said, "When I'm lifted up from the earth, I'm going to draw all men unto me." Hallelujah. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn or judge guilty the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning that the world has access to Him this morning. That when He hung on the cross, you know, we shared Wednesday night about the things that He said from the cross. Seven things that He says from the cross. Very significant. But the scripture tells us when He cries out and says, "It is finished." Hallelujah. There was an earthquake and a rumbling and a shaking, and the sky turned dark and everything was shaken. And He said, "And about that time the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom." Hallelujah. I declare to you that the sound of rumbling they might have heard was the sound of the hands of God grabbing hold of the veil of the temple and rending it and ripping it from the top to the bottom. It said, "Mercy's coming out and my people are coming in." I want you to know this morning, mercy has come out of that place to you this morning. There is an ark of mercy that you can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive grace and mercy this morning, because mercy came out to us and we came into him, and we have the right and the access this morning to come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy, come face to face with our King, our Lord and our Savior, and receive his grace and his mercy. Hallelujah. Pastor Shirley already shared with you, he didn't just die for me. He died as me on the cross. Every bruising, every bit of iniquity, every bit of sin that I had, he took to the cross of Calvary for me and nailed it to the cross of Calvary, that no longer did I have to bear that sin or that shame, but I could be redeemed and could be brought into him. Hallelujah. That I could be buried with him, that I could be resurrected with him and walk anew. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified with Christ, that when he died, I died also. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but the Christ who lives within me. Hallelujah. I was crucified with Christ, and that means I was resurrected with him into life anew. Aren't you glad this morning? Hallelujah. For the life that we now live, we live, hallelujah, after the fact of what, by the faith and the power of what he did at the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. That's good news to me this morning. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. I've been in situations before when I didn't know what else to say. He said, I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Over this situation, the power of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins today. But he can wash away every sin, every shame, every iniquity. Hallelujah. And not only does he wash it away, this is so what is so marvelous to me about this. Not only does he wash it away, but he says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. Now that's good news to me. Your sins and your iniquities are covered under the blood, and he does not bring them back up to you. If your past is haunting you, you're letting the accuser of the brother bring, Satan bring back things to your mind and to your remembrance that are in your past. Jesus just says, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. I don't remember that being a part of who you are. Hallelujah. He said, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. He does not bring them back to accuse you. People may. Hallelujah. People may. People like to do that. Hallelujah. Bring back your past sins. But how many know the scripture says he remembers them no more? Hallelujah. That is incredible to me this morning. Hallelujah. And it is a time of celebration. What a beautiful day today we have to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And I envision in my heart that it probably looks something just like this. A brand new day. Hallelujah. Probably the sun was shining brighter than it ever shone. Probably the birds were chirping louder than they've ever chirped. I woke up the other morning and the birds were so loud outside my window chirping, they woke me up. Now that's the truth. I said, man, them birds are up early, and they have got business to do. They are chirping louder than I've ever heard them chirp, but it was such a good sound because it wasn't far past the big snowstorm we had where there wasn't any sound of birds. And all of a sudden, when you begin to hear the sound of birds, you say, spring's a-coming. Hallelujah. Warm weather is coming. Newness is coming. I'm excited when I see lilies start to come up out of the ground. I'm excited when I see daffodils blooming. And I've seen them things happening even in the midst of the snowstorm. Anybody see some of the flowers coming up in the snowstorm? That's how we should be. Despite circumstances, despite the temperature, we're not controlled by the temperature of the outside. We're not controlled by things that happen outside of us. How many know there's an internal seed of God inside of us that says it's time for you to spring forth? It doesn't matter what outside looks like. It doesn't matter if there's snow on the ground. It doesn't matter what the temperature looks like. It's time for you to grow. It's time for you to bloom. It's time for you to produce fruit. It's time for you to rise up out of your place. You've been dormant for the winter. You've been laying in a restful state. It's time to rise and shine, for the light of God has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon me. Hallelujah. It's an exciting time. It's a time of new births. It's a time of you start seeing baby birds hatching and you start seeing little bunnies and squirrels and all those kind of things. They're on the move. Nobody. It's amazing to me that nobody has to tell the deer. Nobody has to tell the squirrels and the bunnies. Nobody has to tell the flowers that spring's here. They don't get the calendar that we get. Amen? But something about their Creator just lets them know, it's my time. It's my day. It's my destiny. This is who I am. This is what I do. Hallelujah. It's time to come out of hibernation. It's time to rise and shine, for the light has come. Hallelujah. It's a good day. I declare to you, it's a good day. Hallelujah. You know, we talked about Peter and, you know, the circumstances surrounding all the disciples that stood by Jesus. And Jesus warns them ahead of time. He said, guys, I'm doing this. I'm going to share my body with you. I want you to see this symbol of my body being broken for you, my blood, the wine that's been shed for you. And we're going to do that in demonstration here in a little bit. But let me tell you, if you don't understand what the bread and the wine is, you're just going to go out of here with a little bit of bread and a little bit of grape juice in your belly. Hallelujah. But if you understand it's his body that was broken for me, it's his blood that was shed for me. And what he does, what's so powerful about the scripture, when Jesus shares the communion with his disciples, he shares it with them before they ever make the fall, before they ever deny him, before they ever flee from him, before they ever fail him. And even the very betrayer who sat at the table with him, he said, Judas, I'm going to give you the same opportunity of the bread and the wine. I'm going to get to you before you get to me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share my body and my wine with you, because it's for the loved and the unloved. It's for the righteous and the unrighteous. It's for the good, the bad, the ugly. It's for the whosoever will. My body is broken for you. Hallelujah. And what he does is he shares with them. This is powerful to me. He said, guys, I'm going to smite the shepherd and the sheep are going to scatter. I'm telling you this for your own good. I'm telling you this is going to happen. But what I want to go, he goes, that's in chapter 13 of John, I believe it is. He gets up from the table. He girds himself with a towel, not with a sword. Hallelujah. If we ever get the impact of the fact that if we gird ourselves with a towel and we make ourselves a servant and we serve even the very ones that have betrayed us, who have afflicted us, who have done us wrong. Hallelujah. You know, it's easy to wash the feet of your best friend. See, I could wash my husband's feet and not think anything about it. That's the truth. I would do that. He has baby feet. He has the softest feet of anybody I've ever known. I could do that. He says it's because he wears shoes and I don't wear shoes. That could have something to do with it. So he might not be as willing to wash my feet. But you know, it's not hard to wash the feet of your best friend. It's not hard to wash the feet of somebody you love. But it's hard to humble yourself, whether it's in the actual act of washing feet, or it's hard to humble yourself sometime and serve the very person that you know has betrayed you or turned their back on you or walked away from you. You ever been in a situation where you've had people flat out betray you or walk away from you and then call you later and need you to come back and help them or do something for them? Yeah. And there's a part of you that rises up and says, I don't think so. And then there's that other part of you that rises up and says, oh, yes, you will. Because that's what Jesus would do. Yes. See, he'd get up from the table and he'd gird himself with a towel and he'd wash the feet and even the very feet of the man who would betray him. Hallelujah. How many know Jesus washed him and cleansed him and fed him communion bread before he ever went out of that place and did what he did? Even to the fact when Judas came back and he said, hey guys, wait. I was only turning him in. I thought you all were just going to scourge him and let him go. This man has done nothing wrong. He is not guilty of death. You all have went way too far. They said, what is that to us? He said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And they threw the money down and said, we can't put that back into the treasury. And Judas went out of that place. And in his brokenness and in his feeling like he had failed God, he went out of that place and hung himself. And you know, Lynn shared the other Sunday, he said, but what we need to realize is in his belly was still communion bread and the wine that Jesus said, Judas, partake of this. Because this is the only thing that's going to get you through. If he'd only understood that Jesus' hanging was his hanging, he'd have held off a few more minutes and he'd have remembered what Jesus said to them when he goes over in John chapter 14. He said, but don't let your hearts be troubled, guys. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, there's many mansions. If it weren't so, I'd have told you so. But I'm going to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. I mean, the place Jesus was going at that point was not to heaven. He was going to a place called Golgotha, a place called Calvary. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. The greatest place that's ever been prepared for you is a place called Calvary on Golgotha's hill, where he hung on a cross and said, every sin, Judas, you've ever committed, every sin you've ever committed, Peter, every one of you who have ever walked away from God or shamed him or felt the disappointment, I'm taking that to the cross. I'm preparing a place called Calvary for you, that when where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Unless you pass through that place called Calvary, you can't pass through that place called heaven. Hallelujah. You must know what he accomplished for you at Calvary. And how many know that even with their best intentions and their greatest desires, they still in their fear walked away from him? All but John. John stood at the foot of the cross with his mother at the point that Jesus looks at him and says, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Hallelujah. The very God and very man hanging on the cross looks at his mama and said, Mama, it's going to be okay. Just give me a few more days. Call to remembrance, woman. Call to remembrance. The prophecies from the beginning of time said that I'm going to bruise the serpent's heel by the seed of a woman. Remember, woman. This is the reason that I came, that when the angel Gabriel stood in your house and said, you're going to bring forth a son and his name is going to be called Jesus and he's going to save his people from their sins. See, that sounds amazing and incredible and wonderful. God's chosen me, the very Virgin Mary, to bring forth his son. Man, am I not in the front row with this one? I got picked to be in the front row in the headline, but when it comes to the point of standing at the cross, her heart is ripped and torn, and she sits there in grief and agony. He looks at her and says, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Hallelujah. And he relinquishes his mother to his beloved John and said, John, take care of my mama just for a couple days, because if you'll house her for just a couple days, I got some work to do. I'm going to be out of town for just a little bit. I got some business to take care of, but I'm coming back and I'm going to see mama and I'm going to see the boys that I hung with, because I didn't lose any of them. He says to the father, Father, all of them you've given me, I didn't lose any of them. Hallelujah. She witnesses the very thing that Jesus has to endure. Hallelujah. Witnesses the death of the cross, the brutality of it. I don't have time to tell you this morning the brutality of what the death of crucifixion was like. Hallelujah. It was prophesied that he would die the death of crucifixion 600 years before it happened, and before it was ever even invented. The death of crucifixion. It wasn't invented till years later. The Romans and the Persians brought about that type of execution. It was a horrific death. It wasn't anything beautiful. It wasn't like he died as a warrior in battle, where we'd look at him as a great general or, you know, a great person. It was a horrific death of a traitor and a person. It was the worst kind of death that you could die. They crucified him for blasphemy, for saying that he was the Son of God. They said that he was the Son of God. He said, tear down this temple and I'll build it back again in 3 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he dies the death of the cross. And there are two men, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, who come and beg the body of Jesus and said, let us just take his body down off of the cross. Let us take it to a tomb. I got a tomb that I had hewn out for myself. Nobody's ever laid in this tomb before. It's a tomb that's been set aside, but I want to lay him in my tomb. Hallelujah. And I wonder this morning if Joseph of Arimathea understood just how significant that it was when he said, no man's ever laid in this place before. I want you to know this morning, nobody's ever walked this journey this morning, and nobody's ever laid in this place that he laid this morning. Hallelujah. And when Joseph of Arimathea begged that body and wrapped it in linen and laid it in that tomb, what he did was lay him in my place. That was the place I was supposed to lay in. That was the death that that's where I was going to lay in my death. But how many know he took my place in that tomb for me? Hallelujah. He took my place so that I did not have to go the way that he went. Hallelujah. That when he was resurrected out of that place, that I received that same life, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. That's good news to me this morning. I want to go to John chapter 20, I believe it is, and that's where I'm going to take my text from this morning. Pap's laughing. He thought I already took my text. I'm just getting started, Pap. I'll calm down now and try to preach. You believe that, don't you? John chapter 20. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. That's the thought that I want to begin with this morning. It says, she went very early to the tomb, went to the sepulcher, and when she gets there, she finds out that the stone's been rolled away and he's not there. So she goes back to Peter and John and she says to him, they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where to find him. I don't know where he is. I come to mourn my friend. I come to anoint his body. I've come to find my Savior, but I can't find him. And as I sat and studied this portion of Scripture, I wondered if it's not the cry in a whole lot of places this morning that says, I've come to find my Lord, but I can't find him. The Scripture declares that his visage was marred more than any man. And the brutality of how he died, his visage was marred. But I submit to you this morning that we have marred the visage of our Lord and made him into a whole lot of things that he was not, and said a whole lot of things until people have searched and said, where is my Lord? I can't find him. Where is the power? Where is my Savior? Where is the resurrection life? Where is the man I put all my hope in? Where is my Savior today? Where is my Lord? I can't find him. I have sought him. I've looked for him. I've desired him. But it seems like no matter how hard I try, I cannot find him or get a grasp on him. Some tells me he's here. Some tells me, lo, he's there. Some tell me, unless you do it this way, you can't enter in. Some say, unless you do it that way, you can't know him. Some say, unless you're under this religion, he's not there. Some say, unless you preach this doctrine, he's not there. All I know is I'm searching for my Lord. I'm looking for my Lord, and I can't find him. I don't know what they have done with him. I don't know where he is. I went to the places that I thought I could find him. Maybe some of you have experienced that somewhere. I've been places looking for Jesus and thought he was there, and when I got there, I found out he wasn't there at all. Oh, there was a form and there was a routine and a ritual, but there wasn't no Jesus there. Hallelujah. And so she comes searching, and I submit to you this morning, there is a generation of people that's saying, I just want to see Jesus. I want to see my Lord. I want to find my Lord. Could you tell me where he is? Could you tell me where you've taken him? Could you tell me where he is, that I may find him and that I can go to him? So that's the position that she's in. How many know Mary? Tell me a little bit about Mary Magdalene. What do you know about Mary Magdalene? She was the one Jesus cast seven devils out of. Hallelujah. She had a real deliverance. How many know she had a real encounter with her Lord? She knew him personally. She traveled with him. She was with him wherever he went. She saw him do the miracles that he did. She experienced the miracles firsthand in her life. She had met, had touched, had experienced the real thing. And what can I tell you this morning? That once you've experienced the real thing, you're not going to be fooled by anything else. All you're going to see when you look at other things, you're only going to see death and darkness and despair if you've encountered the real Jesus. Hallelujah. Every one of us must come to the place where we encounter him. Now, I don't know what all her issues was and all the things. The scripture says she had seven devils that he cast out of her. Hallelujah. I mean, no, she had a real deliverance. She had a real deliverance. She had been set free. Hallelujah. She had received miracles at the hand of her Lord. She said, but I have come to the tomb, and I come to anoint his dead body today. And they've taken him from the sepulcher, and I don't know where they've laid him. In verse 3, it says, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. Some people say that John outrun him because John was younger than Peter. I don't know the circumstances. I wonder if Peter wasn't just a little bit hesitant to get there and find out exactly what he was going to find out when he got there. Could it be, and could I get my hopes up, could it be that he is alive and well? Because if he is alive and well, we got some business. We got some things to talk about. Another scripture says, go back and tell my disciples, and while you're at it, tell Peter that I'm resurrected. Tell Peter that I'm alive. Tell him it's okay. Hallelujah. We know that Peter was the one that takes the rap for denying him three times. Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. What's he saying to him? Peter, right now you make the statement, you're going to go to the, you'll die with me. But before morning, Peter, you're going to deny me and walk away from me three times. Hallelujah. So that when the rooster crows, nobody hears it that day like Peter hears it. Oh, my God, the trumpets sound, and everybody knows what I've done. I've denied him three times, and now the rooster announces my fate. Hallelujah. How many know somebody, sometimes we just need to eat that rooster. Sometimes, I don't know if any of y'all having fried chicken today for Easter dinner, but sometimes you just need to eat the rooster. Or you need to understand that the rooster is just going to announce a brand new day for you. What yesterday was yesterday's sin, yesterday's condemnation, you don't have to walk in that condemnation anymore. The rooster wakes up and says, I don't know anything about you. All I know is it's morning time and it's a brand new day. So he rears back and does a little crow and said, come on, Peter, get up. Get up. It's a brand new day. I'm announcing that it's a brand new day. Sometimes you got to get up in the morning. If you got to strut a little bit, you go right ahead. But you say, yesterday was yesterday, but today's a brand new day. And I'm not taking condemnation from anybody because I know I serve a risen Savior. I'm going to the tomb. I'm going to check it out. Because if by chance my Savior is risen, then I'm going to say to him, Lord, I'm sorry that I denied you. But I've had a glimpse of a risen Savior. And that was back then. That was yesterday. And today's the day. And we got some things to talk about, Lord. And he said he gets to the tomb. And John goes on ahead. John runs in. See, John was the one who laid on the chest of Jesus. He was the one who laid his head on his bosom. He's the one who heard the heartbeat of Jesus. And I submit to you, if you ever hear the heartbeat of Jesus, you'll never be the same. Because to understand somebody's heartbeat is to understand their passion, is to understand their purpose, is to understand their destiny, is to understand the person that they are. And John said, I got to go and see for myself if by chance this could be the truth. I indeed myself am searching for my Savior. I'm looking for my Lord. Peter said, I got to go find out because I'm doing some searching myself. I got to find my Savior. I got to make connection with him. I got to look him in the eye. We got some things to talk about. And hey, it's the first thing in the morning. It's early in the morning. Maybe the rooster woke him up today. Peter, get up. Get up, Peter. Get to the tomb. Go peer inside. Look and see, Peter, what's inside there. Because if you ever peer inside that tomb, Peter, you're going to forget what's about what's past and what's back there, and you're going to understand that if I walk towards what I see today, a risen Savior, a resurrected life, I don't have to live in condemnation, I don't have to live in my past, and I don't have to let those things dictate my tomorrow. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that this morning? I don't have to yet let yesterday dictate my tomorrow. Hallelujah. I just say, hey, rooster, it's a brand new day. Hallelujah. And stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place all by itself. Hallelujah. It was as if he had just slipped out of those grave clothes. Left them in a heap. They wound them up pretty good, and they would mix spices and herbs and myrrhs and all of those things in there. And then they would wrap the head separately. How many know he looked that napkin, laid it over to the side separately, said, I have accomplished in the head what's about to be accomplished in my body. Hallelujah. There was an old tradition that said if you were invited to somebody's place and you liked what you had while you were there and wanted to be invited back again, you crumpled your napkin up, laid it in your plate, and said, I enjoyed that, and I'd like another invitation. When Jesus come up out of that grave, he didn't crumple that napkin and lay it in the plate. He folded it to the side. And if you folded your napkin, that meant, I really wasn't impressed by what I saw here, didn't like it, don't plan on ever coming back, so don't invite me back to this place. When Jesus took that napkin, he folded it up, laid it to the side, and said, I will not be back here to visit. I have done it once and for all men. Hallelujah. For every man, there is no more propitiate, there is no more sacrifice for sin other than the sacrifice of the cross that he accomplished. Hallelujah. Peter sees the napkin laying by itself over to the side. Then when also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Hallelujah. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And she sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Hallelujah. Mary's still there. She's still upset. She's still searching. John's searching. Peter's searching. Where is my Lord? And she says, in her weeping, she sits down at the face of that tomb, and she stoops down and she peers in just to look to see what she might find. See, they went with Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to lay his body in that tomb. They watched him as the soldiers rolled the huge, heavy stone in front of that. And then they went back to Pilate and said, now you're going to have to seal that tomb. Because what's going to happen, those scoundrels, those deceivers, they're going to go steal the body of their Lord. And then they're going to come back and tell everybody that he's resurrected. And the end of this is going to be worse than the beginning. So let's put guards at the tomb. Let's seal it. And what they would do is put like a clay or a wax seal on the tomb. And then the king or the governor or whoever it was would put their seal on that, that said, don't mess with this. And if anybody tried to mess with the seal on that tomb, that you'd be able to tell and it would break and they'd know that someone had messed with the tomb. And then they said, let's put guards in front of it and we'll guard the tomb. Hallelujah. And so they do that, only when it comes to the point of the guards, there's a great sleep that falls over them while there's a rumbling in the earth and while there's earthquakes and all kinds of things happening, so that they don't have a clue what's going on. Do you know that there's people in the earth today that, as we sit here to celebrate, don't have a clue what's going on in that tomb? Hallelujah. And that is not an excuse. In this day and age, there's not an excuse for not knowing the gospel. The way that we have access to all over the world of places through internets and webcams and all those kind of things, that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ can go to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. And so they end up paying off the guards and saying, just say that his disciples came and took him away. Because if they was to say that they fell asleep and missed it, they'd have been put to death for not staying in their guard. She sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And you know what this is. We've done this before. It's nothing more than a picture of a mercy seat. Hallelujah. If you know anything about the Ark of the Covenant or the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. That was what was behind the veil of the temple that I talked about a while ago, that the priest would go in once a year and offer the atonement for the sins of all the people. Hallelujah. And he would go into that place and be in the presence of God one time a year for the sins of the people. But when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, therefore giving access into that place. The mercy of God, the atonement for your sins, is now available to whosoever will. They come to that tomb, they peer into that place, they look, and they see one angel at the head, and they see one angel at the foot. And the angels or the cherubims would stand with their hands or their wings up like this, and their faces facing each other. And it was under their wings that there was a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, that priest would come in and sprinkle blood on that mercy seat so that the atonement of the sins of the people would be forgiven for another year. Hallelujah. When Mary looks into that tomb, what she sees is a very picture of the mercy seat. She sees a cherubim on one end, a cherubim on the other. She sees the place where her Lord had laid, and she sees mercy and atonement for the sins of all creation. Hallelujah. That she is able to peer into and see what is available for us today. Hallelujah. She peers into the tomb, and they say unto her, verse 13, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Because I can't find my Lord. I don't know where he is. I can't see him. I can't get to him. I'm seeking for him, but I can't find him. Hallelujah. Do you remember the time in your life when you were seeking for the Lord? Maybe you really didn't even know you were seeking for him, but you started to feel the drawing of the presence of the Lord in your life. You started to feel his wooing, his calling. You started to feel that presence of God in your heart. I went the other week. I was called. It was a family that I'm ministering to right now, and the mother is very ill. She's under the care of hospice. And that asked me he told me about the situation. And I told him I would come and pray with them. And I went to the house, and I knew that I needed to share with her about being born again, being saved and forgiven of your sins. And so went into the room with her, and I read her the 23rd Psalm. And I said, "Can I pray the prayer with you? Can I pray and ask for God's forgiveness?" And she said, "Yes, you can." And as she lay there on her bed, I held her hand, and I just had her repeat after me, "Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Give me the peace of God that passes all understanding. Help me in my journey." And I saw tears running down her face, down her cheeks, as she held my hand and prayed that prayer with me. And I said, "You know what? I feel the presence of God in this room. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Spirit of God touching you right now." And she felt the presence of God touching her right now. Hallelujah. I don't care where you are in your journey today, but the greatest thing you will ever do is find your Lord. Find out where he is. Find out what he's about. And find out that all the time you were looking for him, he was looking for you. Hallelujah. He was seeking you out. He was finding you. I'm telling you, my parents can tell you, they didn't just seek out God. He ran them down. He ran them over and ran them down. Hallelujah. And made a supernatural change in their life. I'm telling you, it works, Brother Ike. The power of God, that when you feel the presence of God that comes into your heart, it is life changing. It is the power that I sang about before. Oh, the blood. Hallelujah. The power in the blood. That as we stood there and held hands, I wept with her and said, "Oh, the grace of God that wherever we are in our life, God gives us opportunity to cry out to Him and say, God, forgive me of my sins and give me the peace in my journey to deal with where I am right now. Hallelujah. The faithfulness of God, that I have seen it when I was 3 or seen it when they're 75 or 80. Hallelujah, that they call out to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. And He is, the scripture says to us, that if we only call on Him, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. That's powerful to me. That's powerful to me. There are people everywhere saying, where is my Lord? I need to see. I need to find my Lord. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. How many know the curse that we were under in the fall of Adam began in the garden? And the curse that Adam received was, you're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your face, but the ground is going to bring forth thorns and thistles. That doesn't sound much like a garden, does it? So to the fact that when Jesus goes to the cross, before they ever hang him on the cross, he takes the curse of Adam and Adam's deception in his mind and in his head, because the serpent says, God knows of the day you eat of this tree, you're going to be just like him. And see, we receive things from the serpent's mouth sometimes that we should never receive. And because we do, and we listen to other voices, it puts us in a position where we become under the curse. And he said, thorns and thistles is it going to bring forth. But when Jesus goes to the cross, guess what they do? They make him a nice little crown of thorns and put it upon his head and put it down in his brow, to the point that blood runs down his face from the thorns that they push onto his head in that crown of thorns. How many know it is the blood of Jesus Christ that ran down his face, that covered those thorns, that covered that curse, that put that curse in reverse, that says no more do you have to live in shame and condemnation and in sin, but you can receive life and life everlasting. Hallelujah. For what Adam took a garden and turned it into a graveyard, Jesus took a graveyard and turned it back into a garden, because he went to the Garden of Gethsemane before he ever went there and said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hallelujah. So she looks at him, and supposing him to be the gardener, said, Sir, if you've taken away my Lord, just tell me where you've laid him, and I'll go to him. Hallelujah. She supposes him to be the gardener. How many are you glad this morning that he is the gardener of our life? Pastor Shirley already shared and said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. How many know Jesus understands the principle of a garden? Hallelujah. There's new life taking place in the garden. There's things coming alive in a garden. Hallelujah. It's new blossoms in a new day, fruit that comes forth. Hallelujah. And comes alive in the garden. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, my master. Hallelujah. Do you remember when he called your name? Do you remember when you heard the call? Maybe you didn't hear your name per se. Maybe you felt the tug. Maybe you felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I told you I felt it. Sitting on the table making bread. Now I stand beside the bar and make bread. A little big to sit on the table. But it's still special to me. I'll tell you this little story. I was planning communion for today. And I went to the Christian bookstore. And I was going to get the little wafers or the little squares of bread to have for communion. And I stood there and looked at him and I said, no, because when he took that bread, he held that loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body which is broken for you. This is symbolic, but every one of you take a piece of it. Take part, take my body and take it into yourself. Hallelujah. And as I stood there, and Brooke and I have already laughed about this, so I'm not telling on her or anything. She came in this morning. She came up, and she peeked in my basket. She said, "Oh, the Lord's body looks good." Because she knew there'd be bread in there that I baked yesterday. And I said, "Yeah, you know what, Brooke? That's in there for you." Because when I stood at that Christian bookstore, I thought, she's going to be disappointed if she gets here Sunday morning. And it's not a hunk of bread laying up there. It's little crackers. Now, it's symbolic. Okay, understand, this is symbolic. But she's coming today to partake a little bit of her Lord. And she's expecting that bread. Now, a lot of people do it with unleavened bread today. And people have said to me, "Why do you do leavened bread or yeast in your bread?" I said, "Because I serve a risen Savior. And the Holy Ghost," he said, "the kingdom of God is like a little leaven that you can hide in a little bit of meal. And that little bit of leaven and that little bit of meal is going to fill up that whole place this morning. So you're going to get some bread this morning with a little bit of leaven in it, a little bit of the Holy Ghost, a little bit of the kingdom of God in it, because we don't serve a flat bread this morning. We're not observing the affliction of the bondage of Egypt anymore. I know how I got out of Egypt. Do you remember the day you got out of bondage and you got out of Egypt? Hallelujah. I'm not eating that bread of affliction anymore. I'm going to have a hunk of risen Savior here in a little bit, because I serve a risen Lord, and he is a risen Savior, and he is alive, and he is well. Hallelujah. And we partake of that into our bodies. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people say, "Well, I don't know whether I should take communion or not." Here's how I'm going to tell it to you. That's your option. You will not in any way be looked down upon if you decide not to take it. That's okay. If you want to take it, that's okay. Everybody says, "I don't know if I'm worthy enough to take communion." Only by the blood of Jesus Christ can you be worthy enough to partake of his body and his blood. I want you to know that when he fed it to his disciples on that night, he fed it to all the men. He knew it was going to fail. He knew they were going to mess up. He knew they were going to deny him. He knew they were going to betray him. He said, "But what I want you to do is take some bread into your body. I want you to drink a little bit of this wine, because it's going to come back to your remembrance. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to eat or drink any more of this bread or this wine until I come back, and I'm going to celebrate it with you fresh and anew in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to sit down in your midst, and I'm going to take that bread, and I'm going to break that bread, and something's going to come alive in you that your eyes are going to be enlightened. You're going to say, I remember now what he told me back then, that my body's going to be broken for you, but I'm going to eat it fresh and anew with you in the kingdom of heaven." Hallelujah. So when we partake of his body this morning, we serve a risen Lord. And we are just symbolically saying, "Lord, everything that you are, I take inside of me. Your blood that was shed, your body that was broken for me, because only through your body and only through your blood can I have that salvation and that eternal life." Whether you take this bread or this wine this morning, this is up to you. What you need to know is, first of all, the greatest thing you'll ever do is experience Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's a simple saying, "Father, forgive me of my sins and receive me as your own." Hallelujah. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his name, thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. It's symbolic, but we're understanding the work of the cross of Calvary, the finished work of what he done, that when he said, "It's finished," it really was finished. We didn't have to accomplish it. We didn't have to work it out. It was accomplished at the cross of Calvary. He says her name. And she says, "My master." Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. He makes himself real to Mary. He speaks her name. He says her name. He makes contact with her. He has an encounter with her. How many know we have access to him? That every one of us can encounter him totally and completely. Hallelujah. But not just encounter him this morning. My desire for you this morning, it's not that you just come here another Easter service, that you encounter the presence of the Lord, that you hear about his goodness. But when you leave here today, go back and tell Peter and John. Go back and tell my disciples. Go back and tell everybody that you come to that I've just been in the presence of the Lord. I've just had an encounter with my Master, my Rabboni, my Savior. I have just been in His presence. I had not seen Him. My eyes had been holding from Him. But when my eyes were open and I realized that I was in the presence of the Master and the presence of my Messiah, I had to come back and tell you guys that He is alive and well and available, and He's coming to you. He's coming to see you. He said, go tell my disciples, I'm on my way. We're about to have that meal that I talked about, that we're going to sit down together. And He said, I'm going to break bread with you, fresh and anew. Where? In the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Go back and tell my disciples. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, when they had an encounter. He showed them His hands and His side. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Breathe. Take a deep breath, boys. It's going to get good from here on out. Hallelujah. He breathed on them the Holy Ghost. Whoever sins, this is powerful to me. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Hallelujah. Do you know we have the power to say to you, I hold nothing against you. Your sins are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have access to have your sins forgiven through His blood to whosoever will. Hallelujah. Thomas is not in the room at that moment when Jesus makes the appearance. They said, Thomas, guess what? We saw the Lord. He is alive. He is risen. He is well. Thomas said, except I can see the nail prints in His hands and the nail prints in His feet, I can't believe for myself. I have to have my own encounter. I have to have my own vision of Him. I must see Him myself face to face. But you know what Jesus does? He comes to Thomas and says, hey, Thomas, put her there. Hey, Thomas, put her there. See the nail prints in my hands. See the nail prints in my feet. Blessed are all those who didn't see Peter and yet Thomas and yet believe. You're blessed because you saw and believed. But blessed are those who not have actually seen those nail prints and still believe. Hallelujah. He meets us where we are, makes an appearance in our life where beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know we have been in the presence of a risen Savior today. Hallelujah. Where is my Lord? If you can tell me where you've taken Him, I'll go and find Him. People all over this country and all over this world today are searching for their Master, their Rabboni, their Lord. Can you tell me where He's at? Can you show me the way to the Master? Can you show me, can you lead me to Jesus today? Take me to where He is. Hallelujah. And when she gets there and realizes, He just speaks their name. Hallelujah. All we have to do is direct them in the path of Jesus. And He is faithful to meet them where they are, to draw them in and make an appearance in their life wherever we are. Hallelujah. That we encounter our Savior this morning is the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life, is to have an encounter with your Savior and say, that is my Master, my Lord, my Rabboni. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. Card here I wanted to read from the McConaughey family. I was going to do it first and forgot what I was doing. It says, I thank God for all your love, your money, your food, and dinner after the funeral. The passing of Tom was hard, but all of you were there for us. May God richly bless all of you. Thank you for all your prayers. To my family at Word of Deliverance, you're kind in every way, and I appreciate that. All of our love, Wilda, Tommy, Virginia, and their families. Amen. God bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Sister Wilda, can you sing He Touched Me? this morning? Come on up. I'll help you. We'll all help you. Let's all stand. I'm going to have her come sing this morning. If you've not experienced that encounter with the Lord, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, the altar's open. All you have to do is come down to the altar. We'll be glad to pray with you. It's as simple as saying, Father, forgive me of my sins and receive me. Hallelujah.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Yes, it did. Sing it with her this morning.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now me and made me whole.
Since I met this blessed Savior.
Since I met this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole. Touch me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened. Touch me, oh, he touched me.
The altar's open.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me. And made me whole.
One more time.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Me and made me whole.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you for your touch, Lord.
You may be seated.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.